Now, during this pandemic, the dominant question that all of us are asking is how long? As Christians, we ask, how long, O Lord, until this staggering number of death toll goes down? When will this pause, New York pause, will be lifted? When will there be vaccines and panic buying will disappear? We are all asking this question. That also means there will be frustrations and disappointments along the way. This week, my heart was drawn to this story in John 11, where Jesus Christ intentionally delayed his arrival, and there was a terrible consequence, death of Lazarus. This John 11 Lazarus story, I am sure many of you are familiar with the story. I am as well. This story is like to me, Kissena Park. I am very familiar with every nook and cranny of that park, every turn, even stones and trees I could think about. But I came to this text this week praying to God, God, give me some fresh eyes to see some fresh things. And I want to share some of the things that I have discovered from this text. I have given you from John 10. Because while I was reading John 11, I went back and tried to see what was the context. What is that setting before John 11? And as we have read, it was winter time and Jesus was in the temple teaching and talking. Now, let me just back up and give you general theme of the Gospel of John. John chapter 2, if you remember, there is Jesus' first miracle. He turns water into wine, if you remember, in wedding in Cana. And at the end of that incident, this is what John says. John 2:11 says this. This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. He does not say this is the beginning of his miracle. So John's favorite word for Jesus' miracle is the word sign. So sign is pointing to and beyond the event for something bigger and something deeper. That's the word sign, what the word sign means. Throughout Gospel of John, the theme is Jesus performing miracle or signs to reveal himself. So self-disclosure of Jesus Christ is the theme of John. But that verse that I've read to you, John 2:11, is the recurring theme. That is Jesus' sign, and Jesus manifests his glory and God's glory to reveal his divinity. And the third thing, very important third thing in John 2:11, is that his disciples believed in him. So you see, Jesus performing signs, thereby revealing his divinity, glory of God, and disciples believing in him. Those three items that you could put together as recurring theme of the Gospel of John. And that's exactly what we will find in John 11 in Lazarus' story. Now, the second backdrop that I want you to know is this. Where is Jesus now? Jesus was in the temple, but because of what he said, the Jews tried to kill him by stoning him. So he goes away, and verse 40 said, he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John the Baptist was first baptizing. So if you recall the map, here is Jerusalem. And to the east of Jerusalem, there is Jordan River. So Jesus crossed the river, probably toward wilderness, where John was baptizing. Matthew 3, this is what and how we are told about John the Baptist. Now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Verse 6, they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River. So let me, for a second, Zoom out in your own head, like Google Maps, zoom out where from where Jesus is. He's in the east of Jordan, in the wilderness. Zoom out. Where is the center of the world right now? The center of the world is Rome. The empire was being built. And Caesar Augustus was the first proper Caesar, as you know. And now during this time, Jesus' time, Caesar Tiberius was the second emperor. Even under him, the empire was expanding. If you have that first century Roman Empire map in your head, Mediterranean world, where Jesus is, Judea or Judea, is the easternmost fringe of the empire. We read John 11 because we are familiar with the Bible and we expect to find Jesus. But for a second, if you zoom out and think about from the world's perspective, where is the center of the world? Rome. And where Jesus is right now in the beyond Jordan, in the wilderness of Judea, is really at the fringe of that empire. And there is desert and there is Persian empire as well to the east. So this is the easternmost part of the empire. What does that tell you? It told me this God-man, God in human form as the Son of God, he came 2,000 years ago, and he was treading upon the earth, not in Rome, not in the center of the world, but on the fringe of the empire that no one really cares about. But the fact that Jesus is now in the wilderness and he's going to come, he's going to tarry a little bit, but he's going to come to Bethany, you and I, we have to think about God's love and mercy toward us. Why should God care is the first question. When you actually zoom out, I begin to see this text from the point of God's love. Why would God come, first of all? And why would God come to the fringe of the world? And why would God care about poor Lazarus and their family? We think about God, why are you not here? And we tend to get angry and get frustrated. But I want us to remember that we will start from the love of God. Motivation lies within himself, not in us, not in Lazarus, but God's love, and we call that grace. I want us to start with those two facts. The general theme of John, that is Jesus performing sign, Jesus gives the meaning to it and reveals his divinity and his glory, and people believing in him. That is the theme. And that is the main purpose of John's gospel. That's the main purpose of Jesus' ministry and life. And we tend to see Lazarus' story from our need. God, I need this and I want you to come. That my perspective, human perspective, but divine perspective is the theme of John and theme of Jesus', I think, still present ministry is Jesus revealing his glory is the theme. And let us not change that theme into my own need. Second thing was, let us think about this story from God's love and mercy towards sinners. We call that grace of God. Now let me go to John 11. I expect you to know this text well, so I am not going to re-cover every single verse. But this week, as I was meditating on this chapter, couple of verses came to my attention. First one is verse 3. So the sister sent word to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Notice how they do not mention the name, and notice how they do not ask Jesus to come. They simply say, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And obviously, it is out of respect, right? If you ever talk to your superiors, you do not sometimes directly say or ask some things. Same here. They do not ask the Lord Jesus to come and serve my need. They are very respectful and saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick, appealing to Jesus' grace, Jesus' love. They expected Jesus to know whom they were referring to. Jesus, imagine, Jesus doesn't say, well, you know, I love the whole world. Who is that you're talking about? No, obviously Jesus knew that it was Lazarus. Another verse that really caught my attention was verse 5. As I was reading, look at verse 5 with me. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse 6, so when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer. as we know. So verse 5, to me, it stood out to me as unnecessary information. It's completely superfluous information given to us by the author. Right? You skip verse 5, it makes complete sense. But obviously, when that happens, it wanted to emphasize something to us. So let me back up and give you the application from verse 3, and I am going to talk about verse 5. And I expect you to know this Lazarus story, so I am not going to rehash everything that we already know. Application number 1, let me ask you this question to all of you. If Jesus was asked today by someone, "The one whom you love is sick or dying, are you sure that Jesus will recognize you by name?" Can you be sure that Jesus will say, "Oh, I know Sam is in need," or "you, whoever you are there that you are listening to"? So let's just get to the gospel question. That is, in another way to put it, is this: are you known to God? Are you known to Jesus Christ? After all, you may say, "Well, I haven't done much for Christ. You know, I go to church. I'm even tuning in this morning for this virtual service. But I am not sure. You know, I am not famous. I haven't done much for God. So I am not sure." But let me give you a few verses to you. 1 Corinthians 8:3 says this: "But if anyone loves God, he is known by him." Don't think of it as works righteousness sense, that I have to do something great for God to recognize me. That's how the world works. You have to accomplish something. You have to win something. Then people will flock to you and you'll be famous. But 1 Corinthians 8:3 says, "But if anyone loves God," but you cannot love God. Sinners cannot love God. That cold, dead heart has to be converted by God's Holy Spirit. You have to look unto Christ, the one whom died for you as atoning sacrifice. And this, if anyone loves God, it is not a natural response of a sinner. There has to be that supernatural work of God in your heart to love God. "But if anyone loves God, he is known by him." 1 Corinthians 8:3. Write that down somewhere. Read it again and again. We love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. Let me read you Galatians 4:9. Galatians 4:9. "But now that you have come to know God," or rather to be known by God, it says. If you love God, you are known by God. Again, it says, you are, as a child of God, you are known by him. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says this: "Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known." When Jesus Christ comes, then I will know Christ fully. But presently, now, I also have been fully known by God. So my question was actually twofold questions. Are you sure about your own salvation in Jesus Christ? But at the same time, I wanted to give you these words from the scripture saying, don't worry. As a child of God, as someone you love God, you say, then I want you to know you are known by him. And you are known fully by him, you see. A worldly thinking is that you have to accomplish much to be known by God. No. If you're a child of God, God knows you, God loves you, and if someone says, if you pray to God this morning, you should be completely confident that our God, Jesus Christ, will know you by name. I want you to look at verse 5 with me. So that was kind of application. Now let's turn to implication, the main point today. So what is the story about John 11? Jesus Christ intentionally delays his departure and arrival. Lazarus dies and Jesus goes there and he raises him. That is the story. But as I said, verse 5 caught my attention. So when the Lord tarries, when God does not come to us immediately upon our request, what should we remember is the theme that I wanted to talk to you. And if you will look at verse 5 again, what does it say? "Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." And let me give you the translation. I often do this. Let me give you a translation in correct grammar. I think this is what really matters when you investigate this. This should read as an imperfect in Greek. Correct translation should be, and Jesus was loving Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Imperfect in Greek tense means ongoing, like I am doing something. So correct reading of verse 5 should be, and Jesus was loving in imperfect, not as we find even in NAS. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. No, Jesus was loving Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And let me give you, actually, as it is found in Greek text, it is not, and Jesus was loving Martha and her sister and Lazarus, but loving was Jesus, Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You see how that drastically changes understanding of the entire chapter. And this verse, when I actually read it in this way, gave me a total reorientation of John 11. When the Lord tarries, I want you to know this. As Lazarus was dying, at that exact moment, Jesus was loving Lazarus miles away. Jesus' physical absence didn't mean the absence of Jesus' love. Because verse 5, this superfluous statement, information was given to us by the Holy Spirit. Really unnecessary. But it is in an emphatic form informing us at the time when Jesus was told of that person that Jesus loved was dying and sick. Loving was Jesus at that exact moment. And it gave me a great comfort. When Lord tarries, Jesus' love never diminishes or never changes unlike ours. I'm afraid during this pandemic that our hearts may grow cold because we ask, God, when and how long? God, come to my aid. Lift this up and let me go back to my normal way of life. And when it doesn't come soon enough, and we are just told it is extended in another month. So we expect something for God to do immediately for my need, and I'm afraid that will have some kind of effect in our hearts. But I want you to know, when God doesn't come to my aid physically at this precise moment that I pray about, as verse 5 assures us, Jesus' love for us, and as I told you, if you love God in Christ, God knows you. You are known by God. And Jesus' love for us never diminishes, never changes, because we are children of God. So how foolish it is for us, for the people known by God, purchased by God's blood, to doubt that very foundational truth. Because we think, I ask for prayer, I ask for the aid by God, from God. God doesn't solve my problem. I get angry. My love for God diminishes by the minute, by the day. Let us not do that. Did Corona change Jesus' love for you? You look at the text and tell me. No, you should say. You might have changed. Your love might have diminished. Your faithfulness might have waned. But Christ's love for you and Christ's faithfulness for you, they are as bright and as hot as midsummer day sun in Texas. It never, ever changes. I want you to know that. When the Lord tarries, Jesus' love is not frozen, but it is as hot as summer day noon. Another point that I want to make is, once again, from 11:5 is this. If you stare at it long enough, what comes to your mind? Loving was Jesus. So loving gets the attention. Loving was Jesus. Lazarus should say, don't you think? If the main character of John 11 is Lazarus because he's dying and he's going to die soon, And he's going to be in the cave for 3 days. Now, 4 days later, Jesus will come in. Lazarus come out, and he is going to come out. So main character of John 11 is Lazarus. But let me ask you, is it? No, it's not. Main character of John 11, as I said in the beginning as an introduction, is Jesus Christ and him revealing his own identity, self-disclosure of Jesus Christ is the main point. And people believing in him, just as John 2 says after Cana, is the point. And Lazarus is basically the point that Jesus is going to make. But what was interesting to me in verse 5 was that Jesus was loving. That was my first point. Jesus was loving at the precise moment that he heard the news. So his love never changes, was the first point. But the second point was, it says loving was Jesus, not Lazarus. Lazarus comes the last. And every word, every order of the word in the inspired word matters, right? And who's the first? Martha. And Mary is not even mentioned. It is her sister, Martha's sister. And Lazarus. Let me give you the second conclusion from this. That is, it's not simply that Jesus loved Lazarus, but the domain of Christ's love included Martha, Mary, and then Lazarus. Yes, of course, Jesus loved Lazarus. And Jesus is going to come. But we often forget the point of it all is, as in Cana, Jesus, by revealing his true identity by performing this sign, Jesus wants other people in vicinity, them to come to Christ in saving knowledge of God. Therefore, real character, main character is Jesus Christ. But at the same time, Jesus' main point is not simply, I'm going to raise the dead man. I loved Lazarus and I'm going to raise him is not simply the point of John 11, but to include Martha and Mary. And strengthening their faith is also Jesus' main character from verse 5, because loving was Jesus, Martha, and a sister, and Lazarus. So it tells you could talk about many, many applications from this verse. Then you understand why there are so many conversations when Jesus goes to Bethany. He stays outskirt of the town. He doesn't go directly to the tomb and says, come out. If that was the main point, Jesus will not waste time doing all these conversations with Martha and Mary. No. See, Jesus wanted to reveal things to these sisters. Don't think of it as John 11 as just simply raising the raising Lazarus is the point. I would just make one application of it is, you and I, we have to think about, the point of my life is not really simply about me. Me asking God for my need and getting that resolved. No, through my struggling during this time, through my ups and downs in my life as a Christian, you and I, we have to be a living testimony to the people around us, and hopefully and prayerfully that we could strengthen other people's faith in Christ Jesus during this pandemic should be also our focus, rather than simply saying, God, I need this, we need this, I want this at this point. So I pray that your lives will glorify God. I pray that our lives together will really reveal glory of God in Christ, that many people around us in our lives will come to know Christ in saving manner.